We're in Genesis chapter 41 tonight. Genesis 41, picking up where we left off. And we'll go to verse number 45. Genesis 41, verse 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went out throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up food in the cities. The food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me to forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Let the church say amen. Father, bless the reading of your word, the preaching and teaching of it. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing tonight. Continue to help us, God, right where we are. As some would call it, shoe leather Christianity. Where we can put it into practice and walk in it right away. May this message be something we can walk in immediately. Keep the devil from interfering. In Jesus' name, amen. Together now, and the Lord was with Joseph. One more time, and the Lord was with Joseph. We followed him from a 17-year-old boy, and now the Bible tells us he's 30 years old. And there's been a line of consistency, the miracle of consistency, continuity. How can you stay consistent in all these places with your parents in the pit, at Potiphar's, in prison, still in prison, in the palace, and now we witness him in power? I'm going to tell you how. You got to live by principle. You cannot be consistent living by your passions. You cannot be consistent living by your preferences. You cannot be consistent living by popularity. You cannot be consistent living by the things around you in your culture. Even by your own conscience, you cannot be consistent. You can only be consistent by living by biblical principles, because principles are rooted and based on the character of God. And if God doesn't change, the principles don't change. The circumstances will. But you can stay consistent. The Lord can clearly be seen in your life. Can we follow God on you like we followed him on Joseph? Wherever you are, before the pandemic, during the pandemic, after the pandemic, when things are great, when things are not great, when you've got money, when you don't have money, when you've got friends, when you're lonely, when everything's going well, when everything's going bad, when your family's all doing great, when you lose a loved one, can we follow the consistency in your life? Can we see God with you? If you adapt principles and adopt principles that you'll live by and you will not negotiate them, then no matter what happens, the Lord will be with you. We follow Joseph in power. We began looking at this last week by seeing the delegated authority, the symbolic ring, the splendid raiment, the shining recognition, the superior ride. We saw the submissive reverence to him, the sovereign rule, his supreme responsibility. Pharaoh made it very clear, I'm giving you authority. You're going to be in charge, and your power is going to be given by me. Wow. How did he get this? This foreigner, this stranger, this Hebrew in Egypt, and yet he's in charge. He didn't land in Egypt in charge. He landed in Egypt as a servant, working in someone's house. How did he work his way up? He wasn't an aspiring professional. He wasn't someone that grew up in Egypt and always wanted to sit in the palace. He ended up there because he was mistreated, because he was hated on, because he was envied, because he was abandoned by his own. And yet he kept living for God. The king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he moveth it whithersoever he will. Promotion cometh not from the east or the west or the south, but God is the judge. He setteth up one and taketh down another. How did Joseph go from the bottom to the top? How did he go from the pit to the prison to the palace? How did he go from being forgotten to being remembered? How did he go from being the outcast of his brethren to being the top ruler in Egypt? He walked with God. You will never regret walking with God. There'll be people that criticize you, people that talk about you, people that tell you you're silly, people that tell you you're weird, people that tell you you're crazy. But God will honor you for honoring him. So he was in power. He received delegated authority. Today, right now, I'm demonstrating approval. Demonstrated approval. Look at verse 45. Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. Here's what I call a characterized specification. He gave him a new name. Now, he's a Hebrew. He had a Hebrew name, but now he's in Egypt. I'm going to give you a name indicative of being in Egypt. In other words, I want people to title you and label you as somebody in charge here. I'm giving context to your approval. Isn't that amazing? How God can take you somewhere that's strange to you, that's foreign to you, put you in a position that you're not used to, but he can surround you with a characterizing specification so people know very clearly, this ain't the outcast, this ain't the foreigner. This guy's here, and we're going to treat him like he's from here, and he's going to have a demonstrated approval from me that everybody in Egypt, he ain't going to be the dude from another place. No, no, no. He has contextual approval right here in Egypt. We're not of the world, but we're in it. God can take a Christian who is not of the world, who is of Christ, whose citizenship is in heaven, but you happen to be in a foreign land like earth, like the world. God can take you and give you a characterizing specification so everybody around you will know you are approved. By the way, Pharaoh was the king. Pharaoh was the ruler. He gave approval to Joseph. Aren't you glad that the King of Kings is Almighty God and he can give approval to us or even any earthly authority? God controls them too. So he gives them a characterized specification. He gives them a companion spouse. Look at verse 45. He gave to him a wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On. Not only am I going to give you a characterizing specification, but a companion spouse. I'm going to give you a wife. Wow. Here's this Hebrew receiving a Gentile wife. By the way, does that ring a bell to you? Does it ring a bell to you? Jesus Christ coming through the line of the tribe of Judah, a Jew himself. But aren't you glad that you and I are the Gentile bride of the Lord Jesus Christ? Joseph being a type of Christ, just as Joseph received a Gentile bride, Jesus received a Gentile bride. We are the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. And here is Joseph receiving this. You think he thought about that when he first got there? 17 years old he was in Genesis chapter 37. 30 years old right now. You think he ever thought in that pit I'd be in the palace with an Egyptian wife? You think he ever thought as a 13-year-old boy that one day I'm going to live in Egypt and be in charge? He never thought that. By the way, you can't even think out the plans that God has for you. But I'll tell you one thing. You can know they'll be good if you'll walk with him. And the Lord was with Joseph. A characterized specification. A companion spouse. Notice the commanding status. Verse number 45 says he went out over all the land of Egypt. Verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. He went out from the presence of Pharaoh. Okay, Pharaoh gives him this. He goes out from Pharaoh and went through all the land. I mean, he's marching around all the land. He's riding around all the land. We saw last week, he's riding on the king's transportation. I mean, he's dressed in this fancy garb. He's got the king's ring, and he's going throughout all the land. In other words, he's got jurisdiction everywhere. He's got a commanding status. The guy was just labeled as a criminal. We were just looking at him down in prison. I mean, he had to shave and clean himself up just to be seen by Pharaoh. He was just there to interpret a dream. He goes from being a prisoner to an interpreter to now he is second in command. He's governor over all the land of Egypt. How does this happen? I'm trying to emphasize the benefit of living for God. I hear people say all the time, it's hard. People talk about me. Nobody else is doing it. It seems like everybody else is doing wrong. Somebody told me yesterday, a bunch of Christians are frauds. And I feel like, what's the use of trying? I'll tell you what the use of trying is. Number one, you're commanded to. Number two, it brings glory to God. Number three, it's worth it. Serving God pays a whole lot better than serving the devil does. Commanding status. God can put you on top. God can raise you up to levels you cannot elevate yourself to. Commanding status. Notice the coveted supply. 47. In the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth handfuls. just a little while, he's in prison. Just a little while ago, he's in prison. And a little while before that, he's in Potiphar's house. A little while before that, he's in the pit. Now he's in the palace. He's riding through town. God is prospering the land, and guess who gets to handle it? Joseph. Handfuls. You live for God. God lets you handle handfuls. I love that passage in Ruth where it talks about handfuls of purpose that Boaz left for her. She was a stranger too, coming from Moab back to Bethlehem. But God looked out for her because she made a choice to abandon foolishness for faith. And God blessed her for it. Listen, you abandon foolishness for faith, God will bless you for it. He'll not only let you eat from handfuls, he'll let you be in charge of handfuls. The coveted supply. How many people you think in Egypt would have liked to have Joseph's job? You live for God, you'll have a job everybody wants. But God will give it to you because you honor him. The coveted supply. Here's what I have: controlling stewardship. He gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt. Verse 48, laid up the food in cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. Look at verse 49. He gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. Controlling stewardship. What do you mean? He got to decide what happened to it. Stewardship is the management of the affairs of someone else. This is what Joseph got to do. Why did he get to handle so much stuff that according to verse number 49, he couldn't even count? How much corn did he have, like sand of the sea? You ever tried to count sand of the sea? The Bible says he left off numbering it, for it was without number. So much stuff he couldn't even count it. Could you imagine having so much money you couldn't count? So much food you couldn't count? How does this guy get the privilege of handling so much that he couldn't count? Could I give you just a simple explanation? If you ever want to handle more stuff than you can count, you got to do a good job of handling the stuff you could count. Are you listening to me? If you won't be faithful in few, how are you going to be Lord over many? That's what stewardship is. I imagine there's some Christian right now saying, why won't God give me more? Maybe God's saying, because you're not doing a good job of what I gave you already. Come on. Why would he make you a leader if you're not being a good follower? Why would he make you a husband if you're not being a good man? Why would he make you a wife if you're not being a good single girl? Why would he make you a mom if you're not being a good wife? Anybody listening? Why would he give you the opportunity to be in charge when you're not doing a good job supporting the one that is in charge? There's a whole lot of people looking and say, if I were this, if I were in charge, I could do it. If I was the boss, I would do it this way. If I was in responsibility, I would do it this way. Well, let me tell you something. You're not doing a good job where you are. God is not going to put you in a higher job to do something else. Joseph got to handle more stuff than he could count, because when he could count it, back in that pit, when he was just there doing what he was supposed to do, and he ended up in Potiphar's house, Potiphar watched him. He did good in somebody's house. Then in prison, he did good watching over the prisoners. Then when he stood before Pharaoh, he did good. He honored God, and God blessed him, interpreting the dream. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh says, just control everything. Control everything. Our most prosperous time in Egypt is going to be managed by a non-Egyptian. Wow. Controlling stewardship. Here I have competent skill. Competent skill. He knew how to handle it. Verse 48, he gathered up all the food, stored it away. He knew what he was doing. Hey, listen, ain't nothing spiritual about a Christian who knows a bunch of Bible, but is sorry at his job because he's lazy and doesn't do the things he's right. Do you think that Christianity should make you a better everything else? Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't tell, well, I go to church every week, I read my Bible, but I come to work late and I leave early and I don't do my job and I don't follow through. But I love the Lord, and that's all I'm concerned about. As long as God knows I love him, and I know he loves me, it really doesn't matter about me doing my job and doing my school. I'm a Christian. I go to church, I read my Bible every day, but I'm at school and I'm a kid. I don't do my homework and I don't study for my test, and I hate school and I don't try my hardest. But I love Jesus. No. If you're a good Christian, you do your job well. You're good. The Lord's with you. You show up on time. You do the right thing. You perform your assignments at the highest level possible. God's not asking you to perform better than you're capable of performing, but be competent in your skill. God's hand on you should demonstrate excellence in every area of your life, not just church, not just Bible reading, not scripture memory. Oh, I memorize a bunch of scripture, but I don't do my homework. That's not spiritual. In every area, you should demonstrate competent skill as God has blessed you. And then I have conceived sons. That's where we're close tonight. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. Now he's having children. Wow, approval. Not only Pharaoh's approval, but God's approval. Two sons, and I give you the names and then we'll close tonight. One was Manasseh and one was Ephraim. Think about the names and what they mean. Manasseh's name means forget, able to forget. Ephraim's name means fruitful. Think about this, forget and fruitful. God gave him two sons, but the names meant something to those sons. Number one, Manasseh. You're able to forget all that had been done wrong to him. How he'd been mistreated, thrown in that pit, done wrong by Potiphar because Potiphar's wife lied. Forgotten by that butler when the butler got restored. Forget. Well, God bless you so good, you can forget about all those things. It doesn't mean they never happened. It doesn't mean they weren't legitimate. It doesn't mean they never hurt. But God will give you so much grace and so much blessing. You can move on. Somebody tonight can't move on because you don't know how to forget. You can't get past your past. You let the Lord live in your life. You let the Lord be on you. You let the Lord bless you. God will let you get past your past to forget. And on the heels of that forgetting comes fruitfulness. He will bless you. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. Isn't God good? In a month or so, can you believe we're in December already? In less than a month, we'll be at past Christmas, we'll be past New Year's, we'll get into a new year, 2021, and some of you are thinking, 2020 has been so terrible. Let me tell you something. There's some stuff happened to me in 2020, still happening right now. Good night. It's been rough. But I'm going to tell you something I'm claiming. By the character of God, the truth of his word, my personal experience, that God is going to make 2021 a fruitful year and give us the ability to forget some things. We're going to get past this. We're not going to get past this by psychology or psychiatry or by believing in ourselves or by having our own emotional security or self-esteem. We're going to get past this by letting the Lord be with us, letting his hand be on us. He will bless us and give us the ability to forget and be fruitful. But not if you're not going to walk with him. Why will people keep holding on to bitterness and anger? As if bitterness is excused if the person that did you wrong was really guilty. Let God bless you so much that you can forget other people's wrong. Even if they don't say sorry, you forget them for Christ's sake. Not because they've been good to you, but because he's been good to you. He's in power. When things start going well for you, will the Lord be with you? He was with Joseph. By God's grace, right here, right now, and until Jesus comes, I trust he'll be with you and with me too. Father, thank you for your precious word. I love you. I thank you for how good you are to me, my family, this church, your people. God, help us to stick with you like you've stuck with us. And experience the joy of being stewards over more because we've been faithful over less. Help us to look forward to the blessings you give us, the ability to forget our past, and to be fruitful in the present that we can keep on going for you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for tuning in tonight. I trust the word of God was a blessing to you, as it is to me every single day. 2020 Vision, say it with me, Christ shall be magnified. One more time, 2020 Vision, Christ shall be magnified. Let's keep letting him be magnified in our lives. People are watching and they need to see him. I can't wait to see you next time. If I'll see you tomorrow at the service, we'll see you then. If not Sunday morning, we'll see you then. If you're tuning in, you'll see me on live stream. But between now and then, I love you and I'm praying for you.